Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Lois Effect on Universal Energy Radio. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz, and I want to ask, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the last time the connection was not good because I had used old earphones because my AirPods are in Atlanta.
Are they? Oh, is that what's in the bag?
That was in the bag, and so which is fine. I mean, I have my other earbuds, but that's why I was cutting in and out, and I want to avoid that. And I also don't want to hold the phone up to my ear unless I have to. So if this quality is acceptable, then that would be great. So, but
yeah,
otherwise,
fine.
I'll hold the phone up to my ear. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay, cool. Great. So I know we had a request in the chat that you gave me a heads up about.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Tell me, what do you want to do?
All right, so this is for Andy WW1. And,
I love that.
She usually
breaker, breaker.
Wants a card. Breaker breaker 19. She usually
yeah!
wants. She usually wants a card. She said, "Can I please have a card?" And then she wrote, "Also, if you're picking up with anything with me, and doing event planning again, or if this is just the energy I'm in related to where I have been living, and if it's taking me off my mission because that's something else I have been working towards, I feel conflicted or confused. So I figured we'd just pick a card." And have that address the issue.
Sure. But I will just say this just energetically, Andy. This is not a divisive type of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, look at this as synergistic. Look at this as wholeness trying to find itself. I don't think anything is taking away from any kind of mission or what have you. It makes sense that this is not making sense to you right now. Things feel disjointed. Things feel fragmented. But this is a pathway toward wholeness that is completely unfamiliar to you, which is why these questions are coming up, because these are familiar questions, but you're dealing with walking into an unfamiliar consciousness. I hope that makes sense, but I'm ready. The database is loaded. I'm ready to have whoever pick a card. So I'm here.
All right. So Andy, you're in the chat. I'm going to play the music. Just type in the word pick and we'll get to it.
Okay, so the number associated with this message is 242.
Mm.
And here's the message that you picked, Andy. Through which lens are you actually viewing your life? Shift to clearer vision, a higher vibration, and a happier life story. I think this message completely lines up with what you were talking about and what I was picking up. I'll read it again. Through which lens are you actually viewing your life? Shift to clearer vision, higher vibration, and a happier life story. 242. Well, there it is.
I love this. I love this because the message basically is saying it's not about if someone else thinks you're on mission or it really is what you're feeling in the moment. And
right.
So if there is confusion, that's okay. But is it, sometimes, especially as spiritual people, we get kind of caught up in whatever modality we're working on or whatever we're learning, and everything is through that lens. Everything, like I could be through that filter of numerology and only view it that way, or just that's my default setting. And I've had to, break out of that. Same thing with astrology. And even, my mentor Lois at some point had said, you know, sometimes she'd read this from another person she'd been studying. She's like, you know, sometimes a cold is just a cold. And it's not like this bigger picture, you know, you don't have to have all these things weigh in on that. Like sometimes it's just a cold. So in this case, the lens that you're looking through needs to be more, I dig deeper within, because event planning, for example, was probably something you were really good at and or you enjoyed, hopefully both at some point. So there are a lot of things we're really good at, but that doesn't mean we want to do them all the time. I think every mother was like, yeah, I'm good at this, but I don't want to, you know, raise kids like, you know, 24/7 for all the rest of the days of my life, you know, to this degree. So, so the next part of that message was like, you know, raise that vibration, and then also pick it for, you know, just what brings you joy. And these numbers, 2, 4, 2, I mean, right away, that equals an 8.
Mm.
It's made up, which is, you know, power manifesting. But it's also made up of all even numbers, so very balanced. It's meant for you to be balanced. It's meant for you to understand the bigger plan and understand that some of these details that you worry about, you don't have to really necessarily worry about them. You can be respectful of them, and you can be in partnership with them. That's what the other twos are on either side of this 4, which is about the plan. And knowing that the plan isn't the be-all, end-all answer, it's just a foundation that you can kind of build on and riff on, yeah, as you need to. But so much of that is, how are you feeling? And it's not saying balance, like everything has to be even, but balance in that you're looking at all aspects of your life, or as many as that you can be aware of, you know, and just seeing, okay, you know, where am I feeling doubt? And maybe change that question to, you know, where can I feel more sure and confident? You know, what am I bringing to the table that I know I'm really good at? And where are things where I know I probably could use some help asking for help or at least saying, you know what, I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn. So the 2 energy is in itself very balancing for other energies that are maybe out of whack. Doesn't mean that that's the only answer. That's just one part of the answer. And that 4 reminds you that there's a bigger plan in place, and that's fine. In fact, that overall 8 says this is all part of the bigger plan, and you don't need to know all that. We do get caught up in the details. We don't need to know all of it, but it's allowing, and 2 is very receptive, allowing that's it's going to come. And the better brain you're in, so when you're taking out all this doubt of, well, is it going to take me off track? Even that thinking is going to kind of take you off track. But even that's not really, because that's part of it. Do you understand that the different layers of it means like you're not really ever wrong? You may feel like you are because things aren't working out the way you think it's supposed to, but it's exactly what you need. So hopefully you don't go over the edge, right? That you know enough about yourself, you love yourself enough to say, all right, let me just sit with this. Let me work with these energies. And what am I learning even deeper about myself that maybe I was too afraid to, because it just seems scary and the unknown seems scary, or it's very unsure because it's not what you're used to seeing. But any of us who want to change, it's always going to be something a little different than what we're used to. And we have to kind of get over that hump of, oh my God, what if it just goes to hell in a handbasket and then I'm worse off? All of it's temporary. All of it is. And to the degree that you take that in and say, oh, I'm just going to wallow. Well, you know, even that serves a purpose. I'm not saying that everything is going to be, you know, roses, because at the moment it might not feel that way. But I feel like with your question, it's just like, well, I could do this, I could not. And you have to follow this feeling of whatever's going within you. But where there's doubt, and I think it's about reconciling the spiritual aspect of yourself with your everyday life and what you do for your livelihood, so that it's not so much of a either or black or white question. All right. So she wrote, The thing is, I am planning events for my spiritual work. Okay, there you go. But I also see how there are a lot of other events I can plan out here, weddings all around.
Of course.
Yeah, I used to really like it and be good at it, and it's good money. Would be good for me now in the meantime. I miss with Liz said if it's a distraction or something worth pursuing, if it falls into my lap and it's easy to pick up some events here and there.
Yes, it's an umbrella. Yes.
Yeah, so she's concerned. I was thinking, all right, you could also probably go in all different directions scattered. That's my concern, I guess.
No.
I was thinking of doing it all, but for whatever reason, I have the fear that you're being scattered.
No, you're not being scattered because it's all under one thing. It's events or events or events or events or events.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do. So it's a label here, a label there. Here a label, there a label, everywhere a label. I mean, it's fine. See, I'm still back on the farm. I'm still back on the farm, dude.
She totally is.
Yeah. No. You're overthinking it. And I get that. I so understand that. It's a coping mechanism. It's a way of managing anxiety. It's called hypervigilance. I'm getting such clarity on that. So there's such freedom in letting go, Andy, WW. There's so much freedom in letting go. So always think in terms of wholeness. Flip it. Okay? Because right now you're
like
in terms of fragmentation. Always go. Thank you. Always yield toward wholeness. You know, when photosynthesis is happening, the plants aren't like, well, I don't know, the sun's like, you know, this part of the sun. No, it's like, yo, get me, where's my sun? Even if it's just a sliver picking up through the clouds, it's still there. And whatever fragment, whatever sliver is coming through, still whole. It's just an illusion, the fragmentation. It's obscured by clouds. It's still whole.
Mm-hmm.
So view, lean toward wholeness. It's what you do. It's not like I'm going to plan, do events and then I'm going to open up a gas station. No, you're going to do events. If it gives you joy and you're not feeling fragmented within yourself, wholeness is the key. If you feel whole, then it's right. Feel anxious, then you got to think about who you're trying to please.
Mm.
What part of yourself are you not expressing? Are you minimizing yourself to be smaller, to occupy less space? Then that's something to look at. Otherwise, you're just fragmenting within your own mind, which is why you're sending us a message.
Right. And she wrote earlier, she wrote, it's all good, but my mind goes wonky. A bit wonky at times. Yes, hypervigilance.
Of course.
Right. I'm seeking a new house too, so moving with that also, and in a new area and seeking new friends, etc., everything. And then she wrote, that warmed my heart. I'm going to do events. I love doing events. They make me so happy. I just
there you
thought,
go.
Just focus on your work, spiritual, with events, rather than go back into that social NYC event type scene. And thing is, you wanting to go towards that just spiritual events doesn't mean you're going to land there right away or consistently,
listen,
you know.
That's right. And what I want to say, too, is that, you know, we put this label, this, you know, this spiritual label. We think, oh, it's going to be amazing. It's kind of sanitized. You know, it's no different. And it always kind of cracks me up when someone who isn't really of an indigenous culture or what have you, they're like, oh, and they spent $200 to you know, have a half hour with, you know, some retreat with all these, you know, affluent people. And the leader's like, let's call upon the ancestors. And all the indigenous people that are, you know, working in the kitchen, they're like, oh, no, we're not going to mess with that. Nope, we're not going to leave. And so I say all of that because even in the spiritual space, there's a lot of toxicity. You might even, and it's funny, did she say something about the New York City event scene?
rather than go back into that social NYC event type scene?
Oh, girl, well, listen, you know, I'm in the thick of it here in New York, and I totally know what you're saying. You have to find the air pockets that work for you. Like anytime I'm going to some sort of industry event or whatever, and I'm going with a friend or a colleague or something I have to do, I mean, I always play this game with them. Like, okay, this is our event. And, oh, look at all the people who showed up to buy. Like, I just make this joke because I can't take it seriously. It's like the emperor's new clothes. The same thing could exist in the spiritual space. Just because you're calling it spiritual doesn't mean we're going to, you know, you're going to avoid contrast or things that don't line up. It's really you're lining up with your relationship with yourself. You might have more gratification from a non-spiritual event than a
right.
quote-unquote spiritual event. So I would, you know, same truth, different name. Call it what you're going to call it, label it, but don't paint yourself into a corner. And also, too, this is a revenue stream. There'll be more flow of income if you just do events. You know, and events, the word event, it's like source. It's not going to judge or label or quantify or identify. It's what you do. That's untouchable from any label. And you'll just know how to be in a professional, neutral space. You're not going to buy into energies that don't line up with you, but you could still do your job and do it gorgeously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're not doing it, and I'm suspecting that you're not doing it on a regular basis, study the mind, meditate, but like make it like brushing your teeth. I would be curious. I have a feeling that there is some meditation, but I'm asking that it's done like 10, 15 minutes a day upon waking up. That's what, sort of my prescription. I don't think that she's doing that way or
okay.
similar.
Okay. And I would also say, because she's typing some things in here, I just thought it was time for me, and she puts it in quotes, time for me to do my mission, in quotes, versus, in quotes, you're backsliding into your old life of event planning, in quotes.
No,
but see,
girl.
The thing is, you haven't,
no,
you have to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge how much you've grown. And this
right.
is what I'm talking about with you integrating your spiritual life with your everyday life, because you're always
right.
on mission. You're here. You're on
that's
mission.
Right.
Even
that's right.
When you don't think you are on mission and you think, you know, even the downward spiral, supposed downward spiral, if you have a spiritual inkling, and sometimes that's what happens when you hit rock bottom, you know, how many people have a come to Jesus or come to Buddha or
yep.
or have mm-hmm. something that brings them
yep.
up because they're so
yep.
out of their
yep.
usual routine
that's right.
and they're having to look at their situation differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from
yes.
the inside out. Now, that what happens
that's
on the
right.
outside will definitely
right.
affect you. But
right.
you are who you are. And all this,
yep.
all the experiences that you've gathered and all the things that you've studied, all the spiritual stuff, I mean, you're living your life. You're not separating it from your regular
right.
life. You bring that to you. You bring that to you when you do your event mm-hmm. planning. And look at the richness of the situations and the people and the event itself when you're doing it. You learn so much about other people. You learn so much about yourself. That's your mission. Whatever, you know,
yep.
not just a quick,
wherever
whatever
you go,
brings,
that's right.
whatever brings you joy sort of thing. But you learn so much more. But the thing is, in this life, in this situation, in our bodies, we learn more when something feels off, right? Because you're paying attention to it. But we don't always pay attention to when we're feeling really good unless it's in hindsight. Because then it's in comparison to what we're feeling right now. Usually, you're like, oh, you know, I felt so happy when I was, you know, in high school. Or not, that's not true for a lot of people. But, you know, as an example, when I was younger, I felt so much happier. But, you know, it's always in hindsight. And so what we're part of our mission is realizing when we're happy in the moment. And so it didn't have to be this huge, big, you know, build up. It didn't have to be, I have to go to an ashram or you didn't have to go through all those things. You could have just been outside in nature enjoying it, and you didn't have to be anything. You didn't have to pay money for it. You just had to allow what was on the inside to be recognized. And we don't always recognize what makes us happy. We know a lot about what doesn't make us happy, but that, you know, to say, well, I know what doesn't make me happy doesn't really answer the question of what makes you happy. You know, what is that for you? And I think that's a lifelong, sometimes a lifelong mission as part of it, to understand that. So it isn't, again, a black and white, like, well, either I do this, I do my spiritual thing, or I make money and
honey,
do a job.
No one's backsliding any place.
Right.
And I love everything that Elisa just said, and it's about integration, and it's about the wholeness. You're doing a lot of fragmenting and categorizing. Source doesn't do that. We do that. And it's amazing how your gifts can serve you when you're dealing with, you know, everything is spiritual. And let's just flip it. Look at everything being spiritual. Because it's you, like Elisa just said. It's your creative self-expression. And if you're living in the eye of the storm, in the peaceful spot within the chaos, you could do any kind of work. Most people in my life don't know that I've been doing this podcast for over 12 years, don't know that I'm clairvoyant and I can talk to dead people. Don't know it. I don't want to explain it. I don't want it questioned. I don't want it challenged. Some people know. Some people don't know. It's not that deep because it's just what I do. And in my waking work life, I apply it all the time. Do I say, oh, well, you know, someone says to me, how did you know that? I don't say, well, because I see things and I read energy. Nope. It's just what we do. So stay whole. Don't label. And also, if you're moving, you want to keep things simple anyway. Keep things simple right now if you're moving. And don't overthink it. Things will roll out as they roll out for you. This is about really finding your center within you and finding that wholeness. But the energy feels very, very stable. You just need to continue to ground. But you're good. You're better than you think, energetically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anytime we bring up these questions that seem confusing, I mean, that is also part of the process. And so that emerging doesn't happen if you didn't have these questions, if you didn't have this level of awareness. So like we always talk about duality because we live in this world where it is about duality. But what we also learn is that it's the same side of, it's like the different sides of a coin. You only see one side or you see the edge and you think, oh, it's so different. But when you finally, oh it's a coin. Oh, it's this. You can see it. You have to step away from it. But you realize all the different facets of it. And that's what we have to look at our lives and ourselves as that. Like in the moment, we only see this. But we have to be aware that it's connected to other things that maybe haven't revealed themselves or maybe have in the past. But you're like, I didn't quite, you know, make that connection. And that's where these aha moments come, when you make these connections and when you figure out, okay, I'm not going to freak out about it. And even if you do freak out about it, it's okay. Again, it's temporary because your perspective will offer more in terms of more insight for you. So even if you get it right at the moment, or if you get it 5 years from now or 2 days from now, it's okay. So I love that. I mean, it's just the overall feeling is like you're never really off track, but you can put yourself, you can say you're off track as a way to, you know, some people say, oh, I'm off track. I just need my space. So if you get your space, you do what you need to do, but you were never really off track.
That's
like you're
right.
Here. It's like the kind of giggling, like the little joke is, ha ha, they think we're off track, but that's so cute. And I guess for them it is, and for us it may not feel that cute, but you work through it. And hopefully again, that word joy, with a sense of joy, when you can lighten up and say, ah, okay. And you can kind of laugh at it like, yeah, I was really into, like, I had to buy more crystals and I had to do all this stuff. And I was fine. I didn't need it. I can appreciate it, but I don't need it. So you start to go through these phases where all the things that you think you needed to do to to protect yourself, prepare yourself. You know, I have to get the right color robe or whatever. And you don't. You don't really, you know. When you strip it all down, it's like, oh, I just needed to accept me. I just had to, you know, and accepting me foibles that we think we have and still loving it, because you know what? You're in this situation, you're in this body, and you're working through it. So course correct if you need to. Doesn't mean you're necessarily wrong. You're choosing things that are more in line with what you want. And you have to know what it is that you want. You have to know what the wants are that actually bring you joy. You have to know what that joy is. So you see how you peel back these layers, and it's all, the layers are all within you. So whatever's at the core, which, you know, spoiler alert, it's love. Whatever's at the core is really what you're wanting to embrace. And then right. When you embrace it, you realize it was never far away from you. It was never in something outside of you.
Amen.
So, Andy WW, you're good. Even if he feels a little crazy, it's understandable. But this is definitely inner work that can spill over and is actually part of your bigger work, your work and your jobby work. It doesn't have to be separated out. Do you, be you, and whether you're doing a wedding or a spiritual event, which why wouldn't it be both, but whatever, you will open up new perspectives of yourself and of other people. And that's going to be the fun little adventure for you as you continue to do your spiritual work. She says, thank you. I'm going to meditate now. Perfect.
Thank you. I had a feeling. Yep. Good girl.
All right. And so, keep us posted, Dandy. And then Raven, good morning, Raven. She said she had a question. She said, I've been hearing... Here she goes. I've been hearing a noise that no one else here can hear.
Mm-hmm.
I've ruled out anything in the house. Bruce thinks it may be the gas compression station a mile away. It's a low motor sound, like a jet engine. I hear it all the time. If you have any idea, it would be much appreciated.
Oh, my goodness.
A low motor sound, like a jet engine. Hmm.
Yeah, I hear things sometimes, and I'm like, what, WTF, like what? And I'll ask around, and no one knows what the hell I'm talking about. So I kind of can sort of relate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, girl. I'm just going to say what came in, because I wouldn't say it otherwise. Ooh, girl.
Alternate reality.
I think, ooh, I'm going to use the A word. I think it's some sort of, you're picking up on some, wow. Okay. There is a frequency that's matching or similar to the, I don't know if this is the right term, the harmonic resonance of Gaia, of what's, is it called the heartbeat of the earth? I don't know if I'm saying this correctly. This is just what's coming in. But it's not that. It's a frequency that's trying to mirror that or match that, that I feel is coming from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's an alien, that's why I said the A word, whether it's an alien type of situation or what have you. But that's what I'm getting. So it's not the core Gaia, whatever the megahertz, whatever that is, the harmonic resonance of the earth, but it's something that's trying to match that, but it's like an alien thing. Okay, that's just what's coming in. I'm not even questioning. I'm just spewing out what just came in energetically.
Mm.
Because that's a
pretty bold statement I just made.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not that, but it's mimicking
something
that?
Trying to mimic that.
Okay.
It's something trying to match that, so it's not that. It's weird.
Okay. So she said it's been going on. It's been going on for a while now. She said, I've heard about that, but I'm not sure if it's that. It's a low hum, and it builds up. It goes away. Ooh, excuse me. Let me sneeze for a moment.
Yeah, I haven't even listened. The fact that you heard of that, because I even haven't heard of that. I'm just saying what came in. So cool. Crazy. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and it may be, you know, I just did a quick Google search on just harmonic resonance of Gaia, and there's all these, like, little YouTube videos, so you might want to check into
that.
And just see if it sounds, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be the same, but just see if it's that same level, same type of frequency, not the same noise, but the same frequency. And if it's a little off, you know, I wouldn't know. That's my geek mind is like, ooh, let's just see. But if it's mimicking that, that's what is interesting. So, you know, not to think in terms of black and white or good and bad, because even the words you use, harmonic frequencies of Gaia, which is Earth, if it's not from this Earth, then it can't be that.
Right.
It's mimicking
so
it. It's a mimic,
their own harmonic frequency for wherever they are, wherever that's coming from. Doesn't
it's trying to replicate them. It's trying to replicate ours for whatever reason.
My feeling is it's doing that so it can get closer.
Are you smart?
Well, you know, like tuning forks, you know, if
yeah, that makes sense.
You know, if one is already at a particular frequency, and another one, even if it's not necessarily that same frequency, if it's hit near and it's still, it'll start to resonate with it. So
right,
yeah. She said, "Well, if it's something that I can filter out, because yesterday I thought I was going to go crazy."
Of course.
I kind of feel like if you ask your guides to help you, they will help you. But if you're still hearing it, maybe it's because you're supposed to be hearing it. So then I would ask more questions about that.
Right.
Just set aside time. Yeah.
Right.
Set aside time to say that. And I would say if you're not ignoring it, but you're not wanting to tune into it 24/7, then that is also something that you can tell your guides, like, hey, can you work with me? Because they've done that. You know, there was a time when I was always falling asleep because that was the only way the guides could, like, get information to me. I'm like, okay,
right.
I get that, but I'm also driving or I'm working. And
Lord,
if we could do this, because I would have to step away. I had an office job, and I would step away and go outside, and I would just, like, of course, be in nature, which is great. But I'm like, I cannot, like, this is my smoke break, so to speak, you know, like I'm not smoking, but I can't doze off for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I need to get back to work. So
right.
one of my mentors, it wasn't Lois, but another one of my mentors was like, you could just ask them to help you and just say, hey, let's prioritize this because while, you know, you're not on the clock, so to speak, I am. So let's pick times and situations where it's safe for me to do this, and I will dedicate this time to listen. And usually that's honestly when I'm just asleep, like when I'm actually in bed asleep. So she said, I just listened to a part of that, I guess whatever was on YouTube. That's a higher pitch. What I'm hearing is lower. Okay, so.
Well,
so,
you know, it's YouTube. It's like, it's not going to be exact.
It is YouTube, for sure.
It's a reference. It's just a reference.
Right. So I would, yeah, I think there's certainly, because the thing is to say again, you are going to be seeing in your space, which is your body. So whatever you decide wants to come through, you can do that. But you're sort of already attuned to so many things. But I'm pretty sure you can say, look, I'm gonna pay attention to this for a moment just to understand it to the degree that I need to. But, you know, ask for your guide's help in helping to make sense of it and then say, okay, but beyond this, I mean, I want to be able to tune into something better. This shouldn't be the only thing I'm hearing all the time. I think once you acknowledge it, it will, I don't know what will happen, but I think it, with the intention of what you're wanting to do, because you should be able to say, I'm seeing you in my space and I hear it. I don't need to hear it anymore. however you want to word that, but I think you'll get an answer. If there's a bigger picture here, which probably it is, then I know you'll probably get confirmation or something, some other information that will help you figure out what to do with that. Okay, she said, I'll keep looking. Thanks. Thank you so much. That's so fascinating to me.
Isn't it, though? Yeah.
And you know, Marguerite she's so in tune with so many things. I'm not surprised, but I also appreciate that she's, because she is so attuned to so many things, that it can be a bit of a drain to have that all the time. So why wouldn't we treat that the same way we treat other energies that come in, like, okay, had enough of that, or no, thank you. So I'm sure that there are ways to, again, acknowledge it, kind of file it away, but not have to hear it, like hearing ads throughout the day. I get it. I'm going to turn it, let me turn that off. I don't need to hear it anymore. So
yeah, you need the button. Where's the mute? Ask your guys for the mute button. Still have, because now you're going
to. I feel like there'll be other lines of inquiry that she might need to at least put up, to put out there, so that it'll. The word is to unlock, and then it'll change. It'll be something a little different. But yeah, gosh, Marguerite, keep us posted on that. Not that you hear more of the sounds, but that you'll get more insight on that. I think that's fascinating. Yeah, get relief. Yeah.
All right, well, just set that intention to support Marguerite to get some relief, because that's, I just know when it can be a bit oppressive,
Yeah.
So I can understand and relate. So hopefully this will move through. Now that have some sense of identification or direct confrontation or just meeting it where it is, like Lisa said, the inquiry, and hopefully that will shift things along so that it's not going to be such disruption.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Because that's a lot. That's a lot to contend with.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's a lot.
I get a ton of images in my dreams, but I don't get it throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear. Maybe I do. Maybe, the ringing sound that tends to be like, every so often. I don't tune into it, but I do hear it.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, who knows? Who knows what that is? Wow. Yeah, so good luck with that, Marguerite.
Yeah, that can just really interrupt a day. So I get it, and hopefully this will shift sooner than later so that it's less of a bother, less oppressive.
I'm wondering how long she's been hearing that, because she said it's been going on for a while, but I'm wondering if mm-hmm. like a particular time when she started noticing it and how long it's been. So I'm wondering if there was something significant that happened prior to that.
Right. Interesting.
She said months.
Huh?
Okay. months. She says she's been hearing it for months. Wow.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Emerson, are you talking to me? Are you talking to us?
Hi, Teen Mom.
Teen Mom. Oh, she said months, possibly over a year. Wow.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Wow. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Emerson is just like, hey, baby girl. Mm-hmm.
Mommy's trying to do her show.
She knows. That's why. You remember, like Sophia used to do that. She used to meow during her shows.
Yep. And I did see on Instagram, oh, my goodness. It's like I probably like the second I left, like, okay, now she's gone. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing these, first of all, they're already bigger. They're already bigger.
Right.
They're already bigger. And now are they exploring the rest of your house?
Yeah, upstairs at least.
She's
still super protective. In fact, I wrote in the chat room because they were just rambunctious, just running around in the room. In my, you know, this is still like home base for them, my room.
Right.
But, oh my gosh, they were so loud. So I wrote like a disclaimer, like in case you hear anything around, any other noises. I have four kittens. So,
oh, they're so cute.
Let's see. I wrote, FYI, for those listening, I have four kittens playing in my room right now. Apologies for noises, rustlings, meowings, and other shenanigans you might hear while we do this show.
And well, between you and I, I'm a speakerphone, so, you know, who knows what we're going to hear between the kittens and the streets of New York City, because I don't have my AirPods. But we press on. As one does.
Oh my gosh, we were trying to find the right size box.
Accommodate all my stuff.
Yeah, you left the kitchen sink in here. We gotta figure out that.
I did not. It's my tote bag. But thank goodness. I mean, the only thing that I wish I had are my AirPods, but look, I have my earbuds in the meantime, it's fine. But like my iPad I put in my suitcase, thank God. So I just had a couple like odds and ends anyway. So when it comes. I'm just so happy that I didn't leave anything essential, especially at that hour of the day.
Right.
So I was, listen, I'm just living in gratitude. I'm a little shooken up, startled. So I'll tell you why. Unless there's anybody in the chat or the queue that needs our attention before I get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. So, again, still so grounded and happy and embracing the reset and the awarenesses that have come through from my amazing, I'm still laughing, my amazing time with y'all and the cats and just the nature and just all of it. And and I remember saying on Thursday's show that it's the first time in my life that I actually feel stable. So I have about 5 or 6 weeks that are pretty much my own before I go back to work. And I've never experienced this in my life, and just spending, you know, more time with my kids, doing, you know, things I'm now just beginning to unpack things from my mother's apartment, you know, that I just had to decide, like just crossing my T's and dotting my I's. So part of that, reaching out to a few people that haven't been in touch with for several months. So I send a text to a dear, dear, dear friend. We're always both so busy. Maybe we get together like 3 or 4 times a year. And we don't live far from each other. We just lead very, very busy lives.
And she is an attorney, entertainment attorney dealing with film, but she used to be the vice president of a film studio called Green Street Pictures, and they did Pan's Labyrinth. They did a lot of they did a lot of big films. So she's always busy. And the last time we saw each other was December. And I'm like, wow, usually we reach out to each other. We're already in May. Like, let me just send her a text. And usually she gets right back to me. So I sent her a text yesterday morning. Last night my phone rings from an unidentified number, so I don't pick it up. And then I get a text. It's from her husband. And apparently, and this breaks my heart, apparently in March, they're pretty wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they own a lot of real estate in New York, and they own a building in Manhattan. They own several, but the one that they live in. So they're in like a triplex where they have a rooftop, main area, and a downstairs. And I remember one time that I was hanging out there, I'm like, and they've been in this, they've been living, I would say, about 20 years in this space. And not my style in terms of design, too many hard angles for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a metal spiral staircase that leads from the main area to the rooftop. So he sends me a text telling me she was in an accident. She fell down the spiral staircase and has been in rehab for 9 weeks with a traumatic brain injury.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I think is getting ready to move back home. But from what I understand, and there's also a portal, it's like a social media, I forget what it's called, for people that want to know on somebody's medical progress, like a social media portal that's private. Caregiver can post journal entries. So there's journal entries for the past 9 weeks.
Oh,
my
gosh.
I read the first one, which was posted in March. I just did the bookends. And then I read yesterday's, just to get, like, the spectrum. But she's non-communicative. And it's a long road ahead.
Mm.
But I don't think she's going to come back to being the high-powered attorney with this life that she's going to the Cannes Film Festival. She's going here. She's going there. She's just all that done.
Wow.
And it's so effing sobering. All the wealth and all the lifestyle and all the comforts. Honey, I just put myself into the eye of the storm. Another friend of mine, I just found out, got COVID for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I'm seeing is in the middle of a cancer scare. He's getting a biopsy probably as we speak. I'm claiming that all is well. It is what it is. And I'm just living in that eye of the storm.
Wow.
In such humility, in such gratitude, in such stillness. And I think, how many times do we need to have that cold bucket of water to be dumped on our face? How often do we need that? I'm so shook, not in a way of producing anxiety, but just shook of like, okay, this is the ebb and flow of life. And I'm so grateful. I keep talking about Michael Singer because he's saving my life right now. Just listening to him is just lining up for me in such a way I can't even tell you. Of just, this is the of life. This is part of life. So for me to be living in relief after 5 straight years
of living from emergency to emergency,
mm-hmm.
5 years straight. Oh, my God. And that really all we have is the sanctity of this moment. I mean, she's in her $3 million apartment. Doesn't freaking matter.
Mm-hmm.
She can't speak. I am so shook. And this is someone who I love very, very, very much. We love each other. I mean, every time we get together, we're like, why? See, there's, I don't know what that is outside. Sorry, speakerphone. I don't know what that is. But anyway, and we would always say this. And you know, for years, we know each other about 20 years now. We would say this, like, we need to hang out more often. But just our lifestyles are very, very, very different. No children. You know, she has no children. But what's so crazy, several years ago when I was in Colombia, I guess this is like four or five years ago. I'm in this cafe with my friend. I happen to look, look at the window. I see this with her husband turning the corner. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And I literally flew out the door, jumped like I was Wonder Woman or Superman, jumped in front of him like, what the hell are you doing in Colombia? And then we hung out. I was on the verge of getting divorced, and I actually knew them through my ex, but that was like our sign, like, oh no, we love each other, you know,
right.
And they didn't want to lose me in the divorce. So we kind of reconnected that way. And that was so magical, but it's so crazy because I remember several years ago, hanging out with her, being in that apartment, looking at that staircase, and I'm thinking, this is not a good old people place. This is not a
right.
Good, you know, this is not a good place to grow old in. And
right.
I looked at that, and I don't like ultra modern high and hard angles. I don't like that as an aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a sculpture, not a staircase, but not a pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
And a spiral staircase just really scares me. Any sort of staircase, actually. I'm always holding on. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just my depth perception, whatever. And I remember thinking that, and that probably was about 4 years ago. Like,
wow.
Looking at that staircase saying, this isn't good. Hello?
Mm.
So when he told me that, I'm like, oh, Jesus. I remember looking at that saying, this is not good. This is not good. Not even putting together 4 years later what just happened.
Wow.
But to have a traumatic brain injury, she had to be institutionalized. I think they're going to make that transition to her going home. It's such a long road. But who even knows what her cognition is? Who
mm-hmm.
even knows anything? Who even knows? And it's like, you know, you ask yourself that moral question. Would you want to have your means of communication, your brain function with limited, you know, with physical limitation? Or would you want to have all your physical stuff intact, but your brain capacity, like, which, oh my God.
Mm.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm reeling from this news. I found out about 11 o'clock last night.
Oh.
I had texted her about 10 o'clock in the morning, and he contacted me about 11 o'clock last night.
Oh, wow.
So of course I let a mutual friend know. We're just like, WTF, like, oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know. It's so sobering.
Mm.
It is so sobering. I don't know why we need to get these buckets of cold water. I'm so humbled. I am just humbled and beside myself and rattled to the core. I don't know. I mean, what a road. And what a road for a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I, honey, and I remember the last time I was over there, it was like this soiree. They would, you know, they would host these, you know, they run in these circles, and I'm like, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, here's Liz. Like, you know, she's, you know, she checks all the boxes. She's our cool, fun friend. She's single. She's Latin. She's a black son. Yay. We're so progressive. Yay. Okay, whatever. Okay, cute. And I remember, I pay attention. I watch everything. And I remember I didn't quite like how he was communicating with her. I'm just in the back watching, you know, and I kind of see him paying attention to, you know, a couple other female people, not in a flirty way, but I could just see like, ooh, I don't, and he's a little younger than her, not much, but a little younger. And I'm like, oh, this is it. And she's always been so gracious. I never felt weird in her privilege. I always felt so supported, so loved. We just really enjoyed the love that we, this adoration that we would have. She's always so supportive. And she, you know, she knew about all the stuff, the storm that I was weathering for several years when the marriage was falling apart, and then in the wake of that, and then Black Lives Matter and dealing with my son and just turning everything around. And we had such a great time in December because it was celebratory and it was magical and it was fun. And I love that I have that as the last time we got together, we had a great time. But what was interesting is that she was walking with a leg brace at that point. And I'm like, oh, what happened? And she really minimized it. Like, I pulled something, this or that, but she's very fat. Put it this way. You saw me recently, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm obese compared to this woman.
Dang.
Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I know I'm skinny now. I'm
Jeez.
Skinny, okay? I've never been skinny in my life. I'm obese compared to her. So she's a frail little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Walking around this, and she just so downplayed it. And then this happened, and I'm thinking to myself, not that anybody wishes anything this violent or crazy or whatever. And I'm thinking, what is it in her life that she just needed to just stop?
Mm.
It's so sobering. Not that she intended that she, an accident is an accident is an accident. But I just flashed into like the leg brace. I flashed into watching her husband not being kind of cold to her. I'm watching her being, you know, this high-powered attorney, you know, and she's in her early 70s, but like fierce, like amazing, gorgeous, classy. You don't equate her with being elderly. You equate her with like being vibrant. Like you want to grow old like that, because you don't equate old with her. You equate like, this is how I want to live my life. Fully formed, functional, vibrant, a perennial, just always in bloom. And I'm thinking, what is going on? What? Yeah. So my heart's
beating.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that my guide is, I feel that this is a wake up call for him. This biopsy, he's going through a new stage in his life. I'm in the wings, you know, ready to support and to be the best friend that I possibly can. And hopefully, you know, the biopsy will be inconclusive, and that he just needs to take better care of himself and to recover from, you know, his trauma, his recent divorce, all the things that he's going through. And then my girlfriend who got COVID for the second time and had long COVID and then get COVID on top of long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
This is all within less than a 24-hour period. And I'm like, oh, my God. Let me just live in the eye of that storm.
Yeah.
And just be grateful, full and humbled. But this is life. We can't avoid it. It's just, what grace do we have in working through it? So anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. So I am so grateful for this show, for you, for the recent time I had with, I'm so humbled.
Mm.
And if anybody's going to take anything away from this right now,
live in gratitude in this moment. Just be in that space. Find it where you can find it. So if anyone needs to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. We are scheduled to be on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Live in gratitude, because that's all we have. And to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you.
Love you, girl. Love you.